بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. مكتبة الموحدين بتعاون مع عدة مساجد في منطقة البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة يسرها أن تقدم لكم محاضرة بعنوان رحم الله امرأ عرف قدر نفسه لفضيلة الشيخ حمد الجنيبي حفظه الله تعالى. موحدين publications in conjunction with several مساجد in the Caribbean and US is pleased to send a lecture entitled May Allah have on the news by the Sheikh Hamad al Junaybi, may Allah preserve him. قل يتفضل الشيخ مشكورا مأجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فالحمد لله الذي تفرد بالكبرياء وبالعظمة، وسبحان الذي تفرد بالجبروت سبحانه، سبحان الذي تفرد بالجبروت، له الحمد كما يليق بعظمته وجلاله، له الملك كله وله الحمد كله، أزمة الأمور بيده ومصدرها منه ومردها إليه، سيليق بجلاله وعظمته وجبروته وكبريائه، وهو قريب من عباده، قريب قرب العالم بهم والمحيط بهم، لا تخفى عليه خافية، عالم بما في نفوس عباده، مطلع على سرهم وعلى علانيتهم، منفرد سبحانه وتعالى بتدبير مملكته، يعطي ويمنع ويخفض ويرفع، يكرم ويهين، يحيي ويميت، له الجلال وله الكبرياء والعظمة، لا إله إلا هو. قال عن نفسه سبحانه: له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، وهو العلي العظيم. ألا إن الله. وقال عن نفسه سبحانه: الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون. هو الذي خلقكم من طين ثم قضى أجلا وأجل مسمى عنده ثم أنتم تمترون. وهو الله في السماوات وفي الأرض، وهو الله في السماوات وفي الأرض، يعلم سركم وجهركم ويعلم ما تكسبون. نعم.
أحسن عليك. الشيخ حفظ الله تعالى began by mentioning the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. By praising Him, as He is the Lord of everything that exists, by invoking His peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of his family, his companions, and those who follow their guidance. He then said, all praise belongs to Allah, the one who himself, he and no one else, belongs to him all greatness. All greatness belongs to him and no one else. He is the glorified, the one who no one besides him owns all the greatness and the power. And so he is the majestic and the great. The dominion belongs to him, and all praise belongs to him. All of the affairs are in his hand. Everything comes from him, and everything shall return to him. He is to be praised, and he is the all great. He is near his servants. He is near his servants with his knowledge, aware of everything that they say and do and think. Absolutely nothing is a secret from him. He knows everything that is in their souls and is aware of what they do in private and what they do in public. He is the only one who gives and who withholds, the one who debases and the one who raises others, the one who makes some people noble and the one who lowers others, the one who gives life and the one who causes death. There is nothing and no one worthy except him. He, the Exalted, said about himself, to him belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, and he is the Most High, great. And he said about himself, all praise be to him who created the heavens and the earth, and he made the darkness and the light. Then those who disbelieve away. And he said, he is the one who created you all from clay. Then he set an appointed term. Then after that, you dare to doubt. You dare to doubt about him. And he is Allah, the only true deity in the heavens and on earth. And he knows your secret, and he knows what you do in public. Now, fadl al-shaykh.
أرسل في الناس البشير النذير سراج المنير سيد المتواضعين أكمل رب العالمين الذي كان يقول صلوات الله وسلامه عليه لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يعود المرضى ويشهد الجنائز ويجيب دعوة العبد ويركب الحمار وكان يدعى على خبز الشعير وعلى الزيت القديم فيجيب حج صلى الله عليه وسلم على رحل رص قديم وعليه قطعة وقطيفة لا تساوي 4 دراهم ومع ذلك كان يقول اللهم اجعله حجا لا رياء فيه ولا سمعة فلما يفكها صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن شخص أحب إلى أصحابه رضي الله عنهم من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكانوا إذا رأوا لم يكن شخص أحب إلى أصحابه رضي الله عنهم من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا رأوه لم يقوموا له وكانوا إذا رأوه لم يقوموا له لما يعلمون من كراهته لذلك كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يحلب شاته بيده ويصلح نعله بيده ويخدم نفسه في بيته وهو الذي خضعت له جزيرة في العرب وانقادت تحت امرته كان يقول من تواضع لله رفعه صلوات الله وسلامه عليه
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger as one who would give glad tidings to the people and also warn the people of a severe punishment if they rejected him. He was a shining light who called others to Allah. He was the master of those who were humble. He was the forefront and the most humble of people. He was humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of everything in creation. He is the one, alayhi salatu wasalam, who will say, do not excessively praise me as the Christians excessively praise Jesus, the Son of Mary. I am only a slave. So say, the slave of Allah and His Messenger. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to visit the sick people. And he used to attend funeral prayers. And he used to accept invitations when people would invite him. He used to ride a donkey. He used to eat bread made out of barley, and he used to dip in old zayt, old oil, when people would invite him. He made hajj, he performed the pilgrimage, on a very weak animal, and he was wearing clothing which wasn't even worth 4 dirhams. And he in spite of all this, was making his hajj, saying, "Oh Allah, make this a hajj in which there will be no showing off." When his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, saw him, they loved him more than anyone else. In spite of that, they would never stand up as a sign of respect. They would never stand up when he would enter out of respect for him, because they knew that he disliked that. He used to, alayhi salatu wasalam, milk his own goats with his hand. He used to fix his own shoes with his own hands. He used to serve himself in his own house. And he was the one who the entire Arabian Peninsula was under his control. An entire peninsula was under his control, and yet he is the one who said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Whoever is humble for Allah, then Allah will raise him."
عرف صلى الله وسلم عليه تلك الوصية العظيمة من ربه بإقامة التوحيد وشرف العبودية لله، وعلم أنها العز الذي لا يضام ولا يظلم صاحبه، والمنزلة العظمى التي لا تدرك بغير التوحيد. فعلم ذلك أصحابه رضي الله عنهم وأدبهم عليه ورباهم عليه صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. وقد علم صلى الله عليه وسلم أن كمال التوحيد لله عز وجل لا يستقيم مع وجود الكبر في النفس، وأن هذا مما يضاد كمال التوحيد، فإن التوحيد لله سبحانه يقتضي أن يكون العبد متذللا لله عز وجل، متواضعا لله تبارك وتعالى، وكمال ذلك هي أن يجتمع هذا التواضع لله سبحانه وتعالى مع التواضع للخلق، فلا يرى لنفسه فضلا، فإن الفضل بيد الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا يرى لنفسه جاها فوق غيره، فهي لله عز وجل. فإذا علم العبد أن توحيد الله سبحانه قوامه على تذلل العبد لله سبحانه مع التعظيم لله عز وجل وكمال المحبة لله، ساقه ذلك إلى أن يعلم أن منازعة الله سبحانه في الكبرياء هو مما يضاد توحيد العبد لله عز وجل. نعم.
The Prophet ﷺ, he knew the great advice from his Lord and the great commandment from his Lord, which was establishing Tawheed and directing all forms of worship to none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knew that in doing so was might. The might that whoever does this, whoever worships nothing and no one other than Allah, this person is the mighty person. And this person has reached the rank that he has reached the highest of ranks for human beings. A rank that no one else can reach except by doing this, except by fulfilling the Tawheed, except by worshipping nothing and no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet taught his companions this, and he nurtured and educated them upon this principle. And he knew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that part of having the perfection in Tawheed, something that Tawheed cannot be perfect without, something that prevents the perfection of Tawheed, is having arrogance within oneself. That arrogance and Tawheed cannot perfectly join in one soul. And so arrogance is something which contradicts the perfection of Tawheed. Tawheed necessitates that a servant humble himself before his Lord, that he be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, that he be humble towards the other people, towards the other created beings. The humble person who has fulfilled Tawheed does not see himself as any better than anyone else. He knows that the bounty is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does not see that he has any more prestige than anyone else, because this prestige comes from none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when a servant completes his Tawheed, when he builds this foundation of Tawheed, he will do so revering and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having a complete and perfect love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will cause him not to compete with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his kibriya, in his greatness, his majesty. And perhaps this word might be translated as a type of arrogance, which is befitting to no one or nothing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And having this, feeling arrogance, is something which contradicts having tawheed to Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم معلم أصحابه رضي الله عنهم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر فقيل له يا رسول الله إن الرجل يحب أن يكون ثوبه حسنا ونعله حسنا فقال إن الله جميل يحب الجمال الكبر بطر الحق وغمط الناس أي رد الحق وازدراء الناس وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم معلما أصحابه من جر ثوبه خيلا لم ينظر الله إليه يوم القيامة ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم يحشر المتكبرون يوم القيامة أمثال الذر أي النمل في صور الرجال يغشاهم الذل وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم بينما رجل يمشي في حلة تعجبه نفسه مرجل جمته يعني مسرح مقدمة شعره بينما رجل يمشي بحلة تعجبه نفسه مبدل جملته إذ خسف الله به فهو يتجلجل إلى يوم القيامة نعم
Likewise, the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, teaching his companions, he said, no one will enter Jannah if he has within his heart even a mustard seed, a tiny bit of arrogance. It was said, O Messenger of Allah, men like to have nice clothing and nice shoes. He said, indeed, Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Arrogance is rejecting the truth and disdaining people, meaning that having nice clothing is not a form of arrogance. What arrogance is rejecting the truth and disdaining other people. Likewise, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise teaching his companions, whoever lets his garment hang down low out of arrogance, then Allah will not look at him. Allah will not even look at him on the day of resurrection. Likewise, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the arrogant people will be resurrected on the day of resurrection as small as ants, and will be covered by humiliation. In another hadith, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that once a man was walking in a garment which he was very impressed with, and he was combing the front of his hair. He was in a condition which he was very arrogant about, his clothing and his hair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the earth to swallow him, and he will continue swallowed inside the earth until the day of resurrection. Allah says,
فإذا علمت يا عبد الله أنك إنما خلقت من تراب، أنك إنما تصير إلى التراب وتدفن في التراب. لذلك مما يحدو بك ويجعلك تعلم قدر نفسك وقدر منزلتك ومكانتك، فلا تجعل لها قدرا فوق منزلتها ولا مكانة لك الله سبحانه. وإذا علمت أن لا ذلك راجع إلى توحيد الله سبحانه، وأنك إنما خلقت لأجل إقامة التوحيد، زادك ذلك خوفا ووجلا أن تعطي هذه النفس الضعيفة قدرا فوق قدرها ومنزلة فوق منزلتها ومكانة فوق مكانتها. والله سبحانه وتعالى جعل علامات لأهل الإيمان، والله سبحانه وتعالى جعل علامات لأهل الإيمان، وجعل سبحانه وتعالى علامات للمتكبرين، جعل سبحانه وتعالى عقوبات للمتكبرين، كما أنه جعل مثوبات للمتواضعين. ومن أعظم تلك العقوبات ما ذكره ربنا سبحانه في قوله عز وجل: سأصرف عن آياتي الذين يتكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق، سأصرف عن آياتي الذين يتكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق، وإن يروا كل آية لا يؤمنوا بها. وتلك الآيات التي يصرفها ربنا سبحانه وتعالى عن المتكبرين هي الآيات الكونية، وكذلك الآيات القرآنية، فلا يتدبرونها ولا يعقلونها ولا يتفكرون فيها، وهي من أشد العقوبات من الله سبحانه وتعالى لعباده. الأعمى قلوبهم وجعل عليها غشاوة لا تعي ولا تتدبر ولا تفكر في الحق الذي جاء من عند الله سبحانه. نعم.
If you know, O servant of Allah, that you are only created, that you are created from nothing but dirt, and that you shall return to the dirt. You, your body shall return to be. That you should not give yourself, put yourself above your own level. You should not give yourself any status that it doesn't deserve. If you know this, you will know that this only returns to the affair of Tawheed, that a person is only as good as he is in actions, in worshipping his Lord. And that the only reason that each person was created was to single out his Lord with worship. If you know this, this will cause you to fear giving your weak self any status that it doesn't deserve, any position that it hasn't earned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made signs for the people of Iman and signs for the people of arrogance, those who are arrogant on the face of the earth with no right. And He has made for the arrogant people punishments, just as He has made for the humble people rewards. From the greatest of punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for the arrogant people is when He said, I will turn my signs away from those who are arrogant on earth without any right. And if they see every sign, they will not believe in it. And so the signs that Allah will turn away from the arrogant people, they are both the signs in nature, which are evidence to His oneness, and likewise the signs and verses of His book, the Quran. He will turn the arrogant people away from these, such that they will look at the evidence right in front of their face. The evidence all around them in nature, which points to the fact that their Creator is one, and that He alone should be worshipped. And they can have the evidence right in front of them in the Quran, and they can read it, but not understand it. Because of their arrogance, Allah will turn their hearts away from pondering the truth. And this is the greatest of punishments, having a blind heart, having a cover over one's heart, such that the truth is presented to a person and they can't even recognize it.
ومما ينبغي التنبه عليه أن العبد مأمور بأن يجعل حياته لله وأنه أدعو بلا أو أن معذرة قد خلق أقول معذرة وأنه قد خلق لعبادة الله ولم يخلق أن يتكبر على غيره ولا أن يتجبر عليهم ومن دعا نفسه إلى الكبرياء ودعته نفسه إلى الترفع على خلق الله كان لزاما عليه أن يتذكر عظمة الله سبحانه وتعالى لكي تنكسر نفسه وتذل أمل فيما قاله الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله على أهل الإيمان إذا وجدوا في أنفسهم شيئا من الشموخ والترفع قال رحمه الله فكلما شمخت نفسه ارتفعت وعلت قال فكلما شمخت نفسه ذكر عظمة الرب تعالى وتفرده بذلك أي تفرده بالعظمة وغضبه الشديد على من نازعه ذلك فتواضعت إليه نفسه وانكسر لعظمة الله قلبه واطمأن لهيبته وأخبت لسلطانه فهذا غضب التواضع. نعم.
What is befitting for a servant to keep in mind is that he is a slave. He is a slave who has been commanded to make his entire life for the sake of Allah. He was created for worship. He was created to worship his Lord. He was not created to have arrogance and make himself better than others or try to become the ruler over others and compel others. Whenever someone's soul whispers to him that he is better than others and he has these thoughts of arrogance, what the person should do is remember how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That he is the only one who is worthy of this greatness. By doing so, the person humbles himself. So whenever a person has some thoughts and feelings of arrogance, you should remember how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in order to do away with these evil suggestions. As Imam ibn al-Qayyim said about the people of Iman, when they feel within themselves some feelings of haggis, of being better than others, they remember how great their Lord is, how exalted He is, and how He is the only one who deserves His greatness. And they should remember how really angry He becomes with whoever tries to compete with Him in this greatness. By doing so, these servants humble themselves and their hearts and their souls calm down, and they get rid of these feelings of arrogance. And this is the peak of having humility and being humble.
Okay, من التقطيع في الصوت عندكم.
أيوه. هل تسمعني الآن؟
أقول لك شيء من التقطيع في الصوت. طيب. الآن طيب.
طيب.
نورك سمع.
هل تواصل؟
أقول ومما يجبر التنبيه ومن يجبر التنبيه عليه قضية مهمة جدا ومسألة عظيمة. وهذا يحصل لبعض من فتح الله سبحانه وتعالى عليه بابا من أبواب العلم وفتح عليه شيئا إلى الفقه في الدين وتعلم بعض الأحكام، أو من فتح الله سبحانه وتعالى عليه في العبادة أو في الذكر أو الصيام أو في القيام أو شيء من الأمور التي هي من عبادات لله سبحانه وتعالى، ثم هو مع ذلك يرى في نفسه فضلا على غيره، فقلنا فيما يفتح الله سبحانه وتعالى عليه في باب العلم أو في باب العبادة، ثم هو مع ذلك يرى لنفسه فضلا على غيره ورتبة على غيره ومنزلة لنفسه فوق غيره، فهذا من قلة العلم بالله سبحانه ومن قلة المعرفة بأسماء الله سبحانه وتعالى وصفاته، من قلة التعظيم لله سبحانه وتعالى. وتأمل أخي في حال قارون، تأمل معي في حال قارون كيف أنه تكبر وتجبر وكيف أنه ترفع، وقد ذكر لنا ربنا سبحانه وتعالى في سورة القصص شيئا من سيرته، وعندما قيل له لأجل ما آتاه الله سبحانه وتعالى من الكنوز والأموال قيل له وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنسى نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغي الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين. قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي، أي أنني مستحق لهذا المال ولهذا الجاه. قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي أولم يعلم أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة وأكثر جمعا ولا يسأل عن ذنوبهم المجرمون، إلى أن قال سبحانه فخسفنا به وبداره الأرض فما كان له من فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان من المنتصرين. وتأمل بعد أن ساق الله سبحانه وتعالى قصة قارون كيف أن الله سبحانه وتعالى ذكر عباده وجعل لهم قاعدة عظيمة لا بد لهم من اتباعها، فقال سبحانه تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. نعم.
So something else that's worthy of taking into account and mentioning. In fact, something that's very important is that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses someone and allows them to learn some knowledge of the religion, allows them to gain some understanding of the religion, allows them to learn some of the legislative rulings of the religion, or Allah blesses a person and allows him to become a devout worshiper, or blesses him and allows him to become one of those who remember Allah often, or blesses him to become one of those who fast often, or stand at night in prayer, or any of the other acts of worship. And because of that blessing, the servant feels that he is better than others who do not perform these acts of worship. He feels that he has a higher status than other people because of this blessing that he has been given. We should realize that this is part of having insufficient knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an insufficient knowledge of his names and attributes, and having a lack of reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take a minute and ponder with me, O my brother, about the story of Qarun and how he was arrogant and saw himself better than everyone else. Allah mentions his story in Surah Al-Qasas and something about what happened to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him many treasures, and he told him about those treasures. Seek in what Allah has given you the afterlife, and do not forget your portion of this worldly life, and be kind to others just as Allah has been kind to you, and do not seek corruption on earth. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are corrupt. Qarun said, I was only given this because of knowledge that I possess, meaning that all of the wealth and the prestige that he owned, he thought that he was deserving of it, that it was a blessing that Allah had given him, but that he deserved it. He had the right to it. Allah says, does he not know that Allah has verily destroyed before him many generations who are stronger than him and who are more in numbers than him? And the wrongdoers, the criminals, shall not be asked about their sins. And so we caused the earth to swallow him and his home, and he had no group to help him, nor was he one of those who were victorious. And so this is part of what Allah mentioned about the story of Qarun. After mentioning this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds his servants and gives them a great principle when he says, that is the afterlife. That is the afterlife that we have made for those who do not want to raise themselves on earth, and they do not want corruption. And the final end shall be for those who are pious.
ثم تأمل معي أخي بارك الله فيك في حديثين عظيمين يبينان لك فضل التواضع لله سبحانه. يقول نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم من ترك اللباس تواضعا لله وهو يقدر عليه دعاه الله يوم القيامة على رؤوس الخلائق حتى يخيره من أي حلل الإيمان شاء يلبسها. وهذا أخرجه الترمذي وصححه الألباني. والمراد أنه إذا كان بين أناس متوسطين في حالهم وفي لباسهم فتواضع ولبس مثلهم لئلا تنكسر قلوبهم ويفخر عليهم ولئلا يفخر عليهم فإن له هذا الأجر من الله سبحانه وتعالى. وأما إذا كان بين أناس يلبسون الثياب الرفيعة الغير محرمة فإن الأفضل أن يلبس مثلهم، لأن الله جميل يحب الجمال. وتأمل أيضا في الحديث الآخر، هو قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا أخبركم بأهل الجنة؟ قالوا: بلى. فقال: كل ضعيف متضعف، أي أنه غير متكبر، لو أقسم على الله لأبره. ثم قال: ألا أخبركم بأهل النار؟ قالوا: بلى. قال: كل عتل جواظ مستكبر. والعتل هو الجافي الفظ، والجواظ هو المختال في مشيته، وهذا أخرجه البخاري. وأختم لك بارك الله فيك لمعرفة أسباب تحصيل التواضع، وكيف لك أن تكون من أهله. يقول الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله في كتاب الروح: التواضع يتولد من العلم بالله سبحانه ومعرفة أسمائه وصفاته ونعوت جلاله وتعظيمه ومحبته وإجلاله ومن معرفته بنفسه وتفاصيلها، أي أنه يعلم من نفسه التقصير. قال: ومن معرفته بنفسه وتفاصيلها وعيوب عملها وآفاتها، فيتولد من بين ذلك كله خلق هو التواضع، وهو انكسار القلب لله، وخفض جناح الذل والرحمة لعباده، فلا يرى له على أحد فضلا، ولا يرى له عند أحد حقا، بل يرى الفضل للناس عليه والحقوق لهم. وهذا خلق إنما يعطيه الله عز وجل من يحبه، ويكرمه ويقربه. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلني وإياكم من المتواضعين لله عز وجل، ومن المتواضعين لعباد الله سبحانه، وأن يجعلنا ممن يحبهم ويحبونه، وأن يجعلنا متراحمين لعباد الله سبحانه وتعالى، أو متراحمين مع عباد الله سبحانه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلل، وأن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضاه، وأن يحيينا سبحانه وتعالى على التوحيد والإسلام والسنة، وأن لا يقبضنا سبحانه إلا على التوحيد والإسلام والسنة. والله أعلى وأعلم. نعم.
Ponder upon this with me, O my brother, may Allah bless you. Ponder upon two hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two great statements in which He clarifies to you the virtue of being modest, the virtue of being humble for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first of them is, whoever leaves alone some clothing out of humbleness for the sake of Allah, and he is able to wear that clothing, Allah will call him on the day of resurrection in front of all of the creation and give him the choice to wear whichever of the garments of Iman that he wishes to wear. This hadith was recorded by Tirmidhi and related authentic by Imam al-Albani. What is meant by this hadith is that whoever is living amongst people who are middle class people, not rich and not poor, they dress in a way that's normal. They don't wear very poor clothing and they don't wear very fancy clothing. This person himself is able to wear the clothing of the rich people, but so that he fits in with the others, and so that the other people, their hearts are not hurt when they see him wearing some clothing that they themselves are not able to wear. Whoever does this out of humbleness for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will get this great reward. He will be called in front of the creation on the day of judgment and given the choice to wear whichever of the garments of Iman that he wishes. This is the reward that he will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if a person is living in a society and amongst people who wear nice clothing, then he should wear the same that they wear. Because indeed, Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. This is the first hadith that I would like you to ponder with me on. The second hadith, which I would like you to ponder with me about, is the statement of the Messenger of Allah. When he said, "Shall I not inform you of the people of Jannah?" His companion said, "Please do." He said, Every weak person, meaning he is not an arrogant person. If this person swears in the name of Allah, then Allah will make whatever he swears to come true. He then said, "Shall I not inform you about the people of the hellfire?" They said, "Please do." He said, "Every person who is rough, harsh, and arrogant." The word for the arrogant, jawwal, is a person who is arrogant in the way that he walks. A person who struts when he walks and has an arrogant way of walking. This hadith was recorded by Imam al-Bukhari. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that, "I would like to conclude, may Allah bless you, by informing you of some of the means that we can use to gain this humility, to make ourselves humble for the sake of Allah. And in doing so, I will cite some of the statements of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah in his book, Ar-Ruh, the book of the spirit or the soul, in which he said that humbleness, humility, comes from knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing his names and attributes and the characteristics of majesty that belong to him. Likewise, it comes from revering him, loving him, and giving him his due respect. And also, this humility comes from a person knowing himself and knowing the details of his own shortcomings, and knowing how very imperfect he is, knowing all of his mistakes and all of the outcomes of those mistakes. By knowing these things, a person becomes humble, and his heart breaks in front of Allah, and he lowers the wing of humility towards the servants of Allah. He does not see that he does not consider himself to be any better than anyone else, and he does not consider himself to have any rights over anyone else. Rather, he believes everyone else to be better than him, and he believes that he owes something to everyone else. This characteristic, this state of being humble, is something that Allah only gives to those whom he loves, and to those who are close to him. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all from amongst those who are humble for the sake of Allah, and who are humble towards the servants of Allah. And we ask Allah to make us from amongst those who love him and those whom he loves. We ask Allah to make us from amongst those who are merciful towards the other servants of Allah. And we ask him to forgive all of our shortcomings and sins, and to grant us success in achieving what he loves and is pleased with. And we ask him to cause us to live upon Islam and Tawheed and the Sunnah, and to die following nothing but Islam and Tawheed and the Sunnah. And Allah is the highest and most great, and he knows best. أحسن الله إليكم وبارك فيكم وجعل ما قلتم في موازين حسناتكم يا شيخنا.
ولكم بمثل الله يبارك فيكم ويحفظكم ويرضى عنكم.
جزاكم الله كل خير يا شيخ، الله يحفظكم.
وإياكم يخبرنا، بارك الله فيكم. بارك الله فيك، بارك الله فيك.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.